So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And good evening, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, jackbooted thugs and patriots alike. It's good to have you back here for the TNT radio show on the My View Matters radio network. The date is Thursday, May the 29th, as I look up here at the Freedom Calendar. Thursday, May 29th, our last show of the month here on the My View Matters network, since they don't do shows on Fridays and Saturdays unless they're going to change that. I don't know. I don't know all of Ed Springsteen's plans, but more importantly, it's our last Thursday night show, and that kind of sucks because we've been doing the show on Thursday night for God knows about 4 years or more. I don't know for sure. I don't really keep track of those things, although I know you can go back in the archives and listen to all the old episodes. And a cheap plug there to go back and listen to the shows. This is your truth, Dale the Truth, hosting the My View Matters Network. And we're going to be moving to Tuesday nights. Going to be doing TNT on Tuesday night. That still spells out TNT for those of you all who went to government schools. It'll still be TNT. It'll be Tuesday Night Truth. So finishing up this week and picking up next Tuesday on our new day, same time. So we go straight to this week, this date, this time in history. And we see that if you go back this week in 1787, they started the Constitutional Convention. The real Constitutional Convention, the only one we need. We don't need a new Constitutional Convention. Unfortunately, there's a few people out there like Mark Levine and other folks. And Levine's still a neocon. He's come around on stuff about McConnell and some of those progressives in the Republican Party. But he wants a Constitutional Convention. And I guess, good intentions and all that about, you know what, road is paved to where with good intentions, because he has good intentions, but you don't want a new constitutional convention, because then that box, once that Pandora's box is opened, then all hell will break loose. The original constitutional convention this week, 1787. Moving forward, we have Memorial Day observed this week, the original Decoration Day, as it's called in the South. And you know what? Not a lot on the Liberty calendar, but if I got to look at the Liberty calendar, I can tell you that also coming up this week in 1846, believed to be the first baseball game. Don't know if that's certifiable or not. And finally, we are a few days away. I know we're a little early. Get a little excited. But we're a few days away from the birthday of Jefferson Davis, 1808. So there you go. That's our Liberty calendar for the week. And I did say we were going to get into the Bilderberg meetings this week because they are meeting. They are meeting this week. They don't like to have their pictures taken. We know that today Bilderbergers Peter Thiel and David Petraeus were photographed up close by some of the infomercials, InfoWars reporters, and they didn't like that. They don't like for the peasants to take pictures of the royalty. We warned you about David Petraeus a long time ago. We warned you before the supposed affair came out that he had with somebody. We warned you about what he was about when he told you that pretty soon they were going to use your electronic appliances to spy on you. We warned you what that was going to be about. And Bilderberg Conference is meeting this week. It meets this particular time of the year, every year, right there as the summer begins, when all the elite and all the establishment want to get out there and get involved in taking over your life. And Bilderberg is 60 years old this year, if you can believe that. I didn't buy them a present. I'd like to have some of our liberties back. That would be our present to ourselves from Bilderberg if they would stay out of our business, but we know that's not going to happen because they like to control us. And we know whatever topics they put out that they claim are going to be discussed at the Bilderberg group this week, we know that really won't be what's discussed. You see, they first met. That's the ultimate this week in history. The Bilderberg group first met 60 years ago today. May 29th, 1954. And I would suggest, looking back here at the bookshelf, that you go read the book, The Bilderberg Group. It's a great book by David, Daniel Estulin. I think I got my names all crossed here tonight. Daniel wrote the book about the Bilderberg Group. And this is a week of celebrations because, hey, Henry Kissinger turned 91 years old. That old son of a bitch is still alive. And now in Copenhagen, he'll be sitting there clinking his champagne glass. I'm sorry, it's a champagne flute, isn't it? With the Secretary General of NATO and the Queen of Spain as they'll celebrate 60 glorious years of Bilderberg. But their grasp is falling off, folks. They don't have the control they used to have. This is a red-letter occasion because it's the 60th anniversary. And I guess we're going to have to go into some of the attendees list, the official participant list. All it takes to be one of the 120 people who actually get to attend the Bilderberg Group. Let's go to their official page. Let's go and tell you exactly who's going to be there for the Bilderberg meetings. Bilderbergmeetings.org. Yes, if you go there, they will ask you if they can use cookies and track you and all this stuff, but this is their official page. Copenhagen, Denmark, starting today. Who are some of the people that you might be familiar with? Oh, I don't know. What about Keith Alexander? He's the former commander of the U.S. Cyber Command. He's the former director of the NSA. You know the NSA, right? Remember those guys? The only part of government that actually listens? While you sleep, they sneak. You know those guys. How about Nicholas Berggren, the chairman of the Berggren Institute on Governance? He's another guest from the United States. What about Thomas Donilon, senior partner of O'Melveny & Myers, the former U.S. National Security Advisor himself? What about Martin Feldstein, professor of economics at Harvard? He'll be there. How about Susan Hockfield, president emerita at MIT? How about Reid Hoffman? He's the co-founder and executive chairman of LinkedIn. Thought that was interesting. Tie those two together since good old Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr., your U.S. senator, liked to lie about Matt Bevin and say that that he claimed they went to MIT when it was all tied to his LinkedIn profile. Other attendees for the 60th anniversary of Bilderberg. Let's see. Shirley Ann Jackson, president of the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute, RPI. James A. Johnson, chairman of the Johnson Capital Partners. Bruce Katz, vice president and co-director at the Brookings Institution. Shall we read some more? Shall we read some more of these? Sure, let's read some more of these. Let's see. This one, I guess, shouldn't have surprised me, but it did a little bit. Charles Murray. If anybody knows about Charles Murray, he is the Brady Scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. Richard Pearl. No, not that Richard Pearl. But Richard Pearl, the resident fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. Hey, how about this one? Kasem Reed, the mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, is going to be over in Copenhagen. How about Robert Rubin? Everybody remembers Mr. Rubin, right? He's the former Secretary of the Treasury and the co-chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. How about Eugene Rumer? He's the senior associate and director at the Carnegie Endowment for National Peace. Eric Schmidt, of course, will be at Bilderberg in Copenhagen this weekend. He's executive chairman of Google. Told you all, Google is very evil. I would hope that you are not using Google. I'll take this time out to get in my plug. I hope you would never buy a damn Google computer if you're out of your freaking mind. I hope that you would not use Google as your search engine. I hope that you would use StartPage because those guys don't track you and don't keep track of where you've been. I hope you don't use Google Chrome as a web browser. I hope you'll use Firefox and Opera and Safari instead. And I understand a lot of people got pissed off over Firefox because they didn't like the fact that we had a situation with a guy and we had a whole gay marriage thing going on and oh my gosh, we can't have this, and oh, you all need to protest and boycott Firefox, because I didn't get into all that crap, sorry. I didn't get into all that crap. I still use Firefox because of security and privacy reasons. Back to Bilderberg, the 60th anniversary of Bilderberg. Peter A. Thiel will be there. He's the president of Thiel Capital. Love these companies that the guys name after themselves. How about Kevin Warsh? Kevin Warsh. Not like in Kentucky, washing your hands, but W-A-R-S-H. Kevin Warsh, distinguished visiting fellow and lecturer at Stanford University. Hey, how about Robert Zolik? You ever heard of Robert Zolik? I bet he and Mitch McConnell are close because he's chairman of the board at the Goldman Sachs Group. You know, they were the biggest contributors or one of the top three or four to the McConnell campaign. So those are some of the visitors from Bilderberg for the United States. And it goes on and on and on. Bilderberg. Meeting this week in Copenhagen. We'll get back to them in a minute. But I thought that it would be a good time, since Bilderberg likes to take away your rights, and the Uniparty likes to do the same. I don't know a better way to segue back into this, but I thought it would be a good time to talk about the two-party system and what the Founding Fathers said in trying to warn us about the two-party system. I was thinking about this today because all the McConnell fans, they all got their little skirts on, men and women alike, telling us how you got to vote for Mitch McConnell because he's taking on Alison Grimes. And I know I just said I'm not going to talk about the U.S. Senate race. I said last week that we were done talking elections for a few months. But damn it, they put this crap out there where they say we've got to rally around Mitch McConnell even though we don't want to, because if we don't, we'll have Alison Grimes in there and that won't serve the nation. Well, because McConnell is serving the nation. And then they cry out, we have a responsibility to the nation. Just because we get Mitch back in the Senate, it doesn't mean he's automatically going to be Senate Majority Leader. Yeah, I agree with that. We can hope he won't be Senate Majority Leader. But some of these people have this perverted view that it would somehow teach Mitch McConnell a lesson if you reelect him. I don't really get that. Reward somebody and that'll sure teach them? I don't really get that. I understand that the Republican Party establishment is not thrilled to hear that folks aren't going to rally around Mitch. And that's the point. Maybe if you'd stand conservative candidates for office that Kentucky conservatives could vote for, you wouldn't worry about losing elections. I had another neocon tell me, well, you can't show me where a progressive Republican's even running and winning elections. You're right. They're not winning elections. The less-than-conservative Republicans don't win these elections. Look what happened when they ran David Williams, good old Blackjack David Williams, a little Richie farmer, in 2011. It doesn't win elections. And, folks, I know this is going to sound like a joke when I'm making this up. You can't make some of these jokes up. When I was driving down the road today, coming down the highway, or the parkway, if you will, I literally saw a guy in his little UK basketball hat and his car on the back of this white Buick he was driving. This good old boy had an old Richie Farmer for Agriculture Commissioner bumper sticker on his car. You cannot make this stuff up, folks. But back to the Republican Party establishment, if you run conservative candidates for office, I can tell you conservatives can vote for with a good conscience, then you won't get your ass kicked. That's just the way it is, folks. Sorry to disappoint you. If more people would have voted for Phil Moffitt in 2011, maybe he'd be governor now. I'm glad that he's going to go to Frankfurt and go work in the state of representatives. The House of Representatives, if you will. I definitely think he's going to win in November. Very conservative district, even though the Democrat Party of Kentucky, I guess that'd be the Kentucky Democratic Party, right? They go by the acronym KDP. The Democratic Party in Kentucky said that Phil Moffitt was just too extreme for the 32nd district. Yeah, his very conservative district. Part of them elected Marilyn Parker to the Metro Council. They decided they do want Phil Moffitt. They don't want Shelly May. Yeah, they're pretty conservative fan base here, folks. They're not a bunch of neocons, and they're not a bunch of socialists. I don't think that that's the problem. So again, Phil Moffitt, good conservative constitutionalist. Won in May, going to win in November. Allen Claypool was a good constitutional conservative. He ran in May, he's going to win in November. My good friend John Riley running for the judge executive in Spencer County. I know you think, what the hell is that going to do? You think, you know, judge executive in these other counties actually means something. In Louisville and Jefferson County, it doesn't because of the fiasco of the merger that we had rammed down our throat a decade ago. But judge executive is a very important position in other counties. It's pretty much like the mayor of that county. And my good friend John Riley crushed the competition in a primary, and he was a constitutional conservative, and I think he's going to win in November. Same thing for our friends Allen Claypool and Phil Moffitt. So many people say, oh, well, you got to vote for candidate X because they're going against candidate Y, especially in a general election. And this is why I don't like general elections. I know that sounds crazy, but I don't like general elections because they're not as much fun for me. I think the primaries are fun. Number one, I don't hold any position in any Republican Party establishment group, so they can't tell me who to endorse, who not to endorse. We understand that the Republican Party stalks me on the social networks. We understand that Deanna Brangers, however many little plumes she has in her hat now, 3rd District Republican Party chairman or national chairwoman or Board of Elections chairman, however many little hats they put on her head. We understand she stalked me on the social networks 2 years ago so she could show people I was friends with Ken Moman. Yes, Ken Moman, who you can hear here on the My View Matters radio network on Sunday nights, same time, same channel, Liberty Unbridled, because they didn't like us being friends with even a libertarian. So they really don't like us when we go with Liberty in the primaries. But the general election, it's so predictable. What happens in a general election? 99.99% of the time, you have the Republican who will have what? The Republican will always get the endorsements of National Right to Life, NRA, Chamber of Commerce. Who am I leaving out here? All the pro-life groups, all the anti-tax groups, or some of them anyway. The Democratic Party can, on the other hand, will always get all the votes of the abortion groups, the feminist groups, the anti-real choice, anti-life, if you will, pro-life, or the other side. The Democrats will get the endorsements of all the unions. This is the way it works when it comes to the general elections. Republicans get Chamber of Commerce, Democrats get the unions. Republicans get the pro-life groups, Democrats get the pro-choice groups. Republicans get the NRA, Democrats get the other more anti-gun group, more anti-gun than the NRA. Go look it up. GOA is where you want to be at. But the two parties altogether, we were warned about by, of all people, the Founding Fathers. We can look at polls going back several years ago where people said that the Republicans and Democrats were doing such a poor job representing us that they needed a third party. Problem is the whole NIMBY, not in my backyard. Everybody thinks their representative is fine. It's all you other people's representatives. You all need to shape up. Ours is fine. But folks, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, that little fake V in between their perverses, it's a scripted pseudo-war between them. It's all scripted. Jesse Ventura told you it's like pro wrestling. It's a false divide and conquer dog and pony show to keep the American people distracted. How do you explain that poll after poll after poll says that both national parties are deeply unpopular and the electorate wants something different? How do you explain that? How do you explain that we need not forget and we better not forget the whole Keynesian versus deficit hawks? The real fight would be between economic policy that works And Paul T, it doesn't work. How else do you explain? How else do you explain the fact that there's no difference? I've said this over and over. What we heard about in the primaries was going to be the most, the closest, I can't talk tonight, excuse me, the most identifiable of all debates were going to be between those less conservatives and more conservatives in the primary. They never gave attention to the minor candidates. They never gave attention to those who were going against Alison Linear and Grimes in the Democratic primary. We probably gave them more airtime than anybody else. McConnell had to admit he had an opponent because his opponent was endorsed by all the Tea Party groups. It was not divided. The Tea Party was not split, as you actually heard before in other places. But the pseudo-war between the Democrats and Republicans, the false divide and conquer show, that was warned to us by the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers warned us about a two-party system. John Adams, look it up, folks. John freaking Adams said, "There is nothing which I dread as much as a division of the Republic into two parties, each arranged under its leader, and concerning measures in opposition to each other. This is, in my humble apprehension, to be dreaded as the greatest political evil." George Washington. Has anybody ever heard George Washington's farewell speech? George Washington said, "The alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism." George Washington, farewell address. This leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually include the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. Without looking forward to an extremity of this kind, which nevertheless ought not to be entirely out of sight, the common and continual mischiefs of the spirit of party are sufficient to make it the interest and duty of a wise people to discourage and restrain it. It serves almost always to distract the public councils. It agitates the community with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms. It kindles the animosities of one party against another, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which find a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of, you guessed it, party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another. There is an opinion that parties in free countries are useful checks upon the administration of the government and serve to keep alive the spirit of liberty. This, within certain limits, is probably true, and in governments of a monarchical caste, patriotism may look with indulgence, if not with favor, upon the spirit of party. But in those of popular character, in governments purely elective, it is a spirit not to be encouraged. From their natural tendency, it is certain they will always be enough of that spirit for every solitary purpose. And there being constant danger of excess, the effort ought to be, by force of public opinion, to mitigate. A fire not to be quenched. It demands a uniform vigilance to prevent its bursting into a flame, lest instead of warming, it should consume. That was George Washington, folks, with his farewell address. warning you about the political parties, because the founding fathers were afraid that the parties would become more important than the people and the United States as a whole, which has happened.
Impressions aren't the most important thing, they're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And we're back, and we thank you for hanging with us here on the TNT Radio Show with your host, myself, Dale LaTruth. And we were going to talk a little bit more about Bilderberg. We talked earlier about Bilderberg is 60 years old this year. And the Bilderberg Group is meeting in Denmark this week. It's really a damn shame because Denmark is one of my favorite countries. They probably have some of the most freedoms and liberties of all countries. I love when people claim that the United States is this wonderful free beacon of liberty and justice and all that BS, but it just isn't true when you look at the rankings in the world of economic liberties and civil liberties and freedoms of the press and other things. Yes, of A is not so free after all. And I know that's heresy for me to say that. That's blasphemous, people think. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. There are countries like Norway and Denmark and Switzerland and Australia and New Zealand and, yes, Canada that have passed us in many different indexes of freedom. So Bilderberg is meeting in Copenhagen, 60th anniversary starting today. And already two reporters have been arrested for trying to interview the organizers of the conference at this Marriott hotel. It's easy enough to keep your privacy intact, I guess, when you're employing so many to guard the hotel. You and I can't afford guards to protect us from the invasion of privacy. But isn't there something distinctly chilling about the existence of privacy being debated at this Bilderberg Group? And extreme privacy by people such as the executive chairman of Google, Eric Schmidt, and the board member of Facebook, Peter Thiel, exactly the people who know how radically transparent the general public has become. And they're discussing it with the head of MI6, Sir John Sawyers, and Keith Alexander, you know, the recently replaced head of the NSA. And they were discussing it with the head of AXA, the insurance and investment conglomerate, Henry de Castries. Perhaps no one is more interested in data collection and public surveillance than the insurance giants. For them, privacy is the enemy. Public transparency is a gold mine. And back in 2010, just four short years ago, we were hearing that there's the most radical transparency agenda that the country has ever seen. No, that wasn't Barack Obama. That was George Osborne. Any of our listening audience know who George Osborne is? Maybe I should make you go look it up. Maybe I should leave you hanging. That'll be one of those teases. No, George Osborne at his 7th Bilderberg, Chancellor George Osborne. You giving up yet? I don't think they're going to get it, folks. He's the Right Honorable George Osborne, as they call him. He's the Chancellor. He's the government's chief financial minister in Great Britain. He controls all the purse strings of the fake money. And just four straight years ago, speaking of the United Kingdom, he said that they were launching the most radical transparency agenda that the country has ever seen. However, the transparency agenda doesn't seem to extend to Osborne himself, making a public statement about what he has discussed at this meeting with whom. We know that from the agenda and list that the foreign affairs minister from Spain and Sweden will be there. And these foreign affairs ministers will speak with the Deputy Secretary General of the French Presidency, and from closer to home, the International Development Secretary, Justine Greening, and the Shadow Chancellor, Ed Balls. Yes, that's his name, folks, Ed Balls. We know that Mr. Balls is going to discuss the situation in Ukraine with extremely interested parties, such as the chief executive of the European arms giant Airbus, Thomas Anders. Not to mention the chief executive and chairman of the defense and security company, Saab, Hakan Busch and Marcus Wallenberg. How about billionaire investors like Henry Kravis, who is always looking to sharpen what he calls the edge? And helping Kravis sharpen the edge is General David Petraeus, the aforementioned director of the CIA. Well, he was, until, quote-unquote, an affair, if you believe that garbage. And the Bilderberg Group says it has no desired outcome at its conference, but for private equity giants and heads of banks and arms manufacturers and oil companies, there's always a desired outcome. Try telling the shareholders of Shell Oil that there's no desired outcome. Try telling the lobbyists who have been working so hard to push the Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership that is being negotiated. Bilderberg is packed to the gills with senior members of the powerful lobby groups. And I guess right on cue, I believe our good friend is checking in, Paul of Stop Invisible Taxes. Paul, what say you?
Dale, your listing of all of these names of the Bilderberger bunch just reinforces a contention I have made for many years, and that is the power in our societies is concentrated into the hands of a relatively few people. And the question becomes, how do the masses reclaim that power? Now, before you answer, you've simply got to vote them out. That is the standard answer, and it's not working so good.
Pardon no, it's what we're supposed to do. It's not happening.
Yeah. So, one of the other methods of getting them out is a method that has proven successful many times. It's also proven that it fails, but it also scares the hell out of most people.
Right.
And that is some type of revolution.
Yeah, now, using the R word.
We've got a lot of revolution going on around the globe. We're talking about the bloody killing type. And we've got a lot of people who are actually resisting the influence of this cabal, this relatively small group of people. And, of course, the cabal is using military might to quash it and keep it under as much control as they think they can. So I find it fascinating that we aren't seeing a similar kind of resistance here on this continent.
Well, the mainstream media doesn't cover it, Paul. They don't talk about it. I mean, you would think this Bilderberg group wouldn't the most elite of media, wouldn't they want to go take a little summer vacation, go to Copenhagen, and wouldn't they want to travel out there and see what the powerful leaders, the controllers of the entire global system are talking about? But yet, if you go out there and do a search engine search, and no, I'm not going to use Google, because Google is evil, but I would do a start page search, and looking over the last week of mentions of Bilderberg, it's a respectable 86,000 mentions. But if I go and pick out a celebrity du jour, who I don't even know, Paul, who are the most hip celebrities that are just bullshit that everybody's talking about? Give me a name of a hip celebrity that's in the media.
You mean like Miley Cyrus?
Yeah. Let me type in Miley Cyrus and see how many search engine hits she got this week, because Bilderberg got 86,600 for the leaders of the entire planet. Oh, Miley got 27.2 million this week. Miley Cyrus, according to the sheeple, and I know the people want it and the media give it to them, and the media say they give it to them because they want it, and the people only have it because of what the media gives them, and we keep regurgitating that thing like a bird in its and it's food. But again, Bilderberg has 86,000 mentions this week, and that's good until you see that nobody around here in the mainstream will touch it, until you see that most of the mentions come from RT, you know, Russia Today, or infomercials, or I'm sorry, InfoWars, or The Guardian in London. Why are nobody in the mainstream press covering it? It got a little blip in CNBC. It got a little blip in the NPR. Why is this group that controls the media, controls the oil companies, controls the arms companies, controls the country's leaders, why don't they get more media coverage, Paul?
Well, they control the media in this country.
Ding, ding, ding.
Much, apparently to a much larger degree than they do in other countries, Dale.
They're not allowed to talk about it. Yeah.
Question always becomes, over the course of human history, this situation has been repeated untold numbers of times, where folks in power start craving more and more power and control over everyone else. And almost universally, it breaks down at some point, almost universally. So, Dale, what's your best guess as to when this continued acquisition of power here on the North American continent by a relatively small number of people, at what point or at what decade do you think it'll begin to have a serious breakdown? Now, we're seeing, and before you answer that, some of the breakdown is occurring, believe it or not, in the form of some social protests. We've had the Tea Party group and the Tea Party movement, if you will, been going on now for more than 5 years, which incidentally I heard a cute little factoid on that. The whole concept of a Tea Party movement was actually suggested in a report from a CNN reporter a number of years ago. So I like hearing that a CNN reporter actually kind of sort of generated the idea during one of his reports. But we've had Occupy Movement. Occupy Movement is, again, a form of protest. They're not happy with the way things are going. You know, we've got the Coffee Party. We've got the Green Party. We've got the Libertarians. I mean, we've got a lot of groups that have openly proclaimed their dissatisfaction with the status quo. All right.
Well,
so we're in the early stages.
The protest is like a minor side of its cousin, civil disobedience. And unfortunately, even the protests don't mean much because look back at the history. I believe it was, I want to say it was, it may have been Alexander Haig, or it may have even been James Baker, one of those New World Order guys in the 80s. I can't remember who the quote was now. Was talking about they don't care how many people protest and march as long as they keep paying their taxes, Paul.
Well, Dale, that is probably the best way to protest. If you quit feeding the beast,
are you
the beast will
today?
Begin to starve.
Are you prepared today, Paul, on the airwaves to tell our audience of hundreds and thousands of people that you'll be one of those who will stop paying all your income taxes?
I would advocate folks to take and do what the wealthy people do, and that is find reasons within the current structure taxes.
Within the structure, yeah.
People,
that's another question. What would happen tomorrow? And we know it'll never happen because it's this whole continuing cycle where what is it you and I have called it, Paul, and people don't like this word, but we know it's not a democracy, thank God. It's not a republic, and we know it's not the catchphrases, socialism and Marxism. What is it we call this government, Paul, where the businesses and the government are all in bed together?
Well, my definition fits this classic definition found in nearly any dictionary for the word fascism.
Yes.
And we have
fascism,
a fascist government.
In some alternative world, you just bring up a good point in my mind. The leaders of our country, if you want to call them leaders, they're not my leaders. I don't need them as leaders. But the leaders of these companies, let's just go with companies, they like to hide the money in certain places, and they can do that where the common people can't go and get Swiss bank accounts and can't hide all this money in the Cayman Islands offshore. But I'm just curious, what would happen if the wealthy started doing this? What if we had a John Galton moment, and what if the wealthy decided to stop paying all their taxes? What would happen then?
Well, we would be back to 1776 because I think a lot of people, for whatever history is being taught today, probably doesn't compare to the way it was taught when I was at Seneca High School in 1968, when it was actually taught pretty in-depth. Let me tell you, my test scores showed that they really expected a lot in American history. But a lot of people don't realize that many, many, many leaders of the original American Revolution were people of means. They were people of means. They not only found the backbone to stand up to the British overlords, they provided a lot of funding for it, they provided a lot of inspiration for it, and one of the things that I most appreciate about that bunch of folks is that they did it in a guerrilla style.
Yeah.
Guerrilla style, which was absolutely necessary given the situation of today. And I find a lot of parallels between those days and today. Come right out and you protest. Let's say that you make a big deal about some government policy and you get in their face and they will find a reason to lock you up in a jail. They will find a reason. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So there is great risk in doing it in their face, but guerrilla style, you can be effective. Look what the guerrilla style did to United States policy over in Vietnam. It defeated it. So I like the tactic.
Paul, I think
one of the
big problems. Go ahead.
No, I like the tactic during the American Revolution, and I like the tactic today because I think that lessens the risk for true patriots to get out there and start getting changes made and putting these people who believe that they're benefiting a great deal from the status quo, put them in their place. We need encourage them to leave.
Too many people in this country, Paul, these United States of America, too many people in this country think that they're free. And remember the famous quote about no one is more enslaved than those who falsely think they're free?
Listen, it takes a while for the concept of real freedom to sink in. One of the things the overlords here in this country really do a good job of, and you got to give them their props on this, is that they actually get young Americans to focus on the acquisition of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, forget your freedoms. Forget making the country stronger. They encourage folks to be quite selfish, and it's a good strategy because it works.
For them because they're selling products. They're selling soap, so to speak. Can you say that more than all the technology devices out there? They've told everybody you gotta have the iPads and the iPhones and the iPods and all these other devices, and they're selling these devices to people, and it kind of leads me back to, like I was talking about with Google and Facebook, they don't care about your privacy. They want to harvest your information because it's beneficial to them, and this is why I say, shouldn't people be worried that the Bilderberg Group is featuring people like the chairman of Google and the chairman of Facebook, and they have a certain little debate they're going to have at this event called Should Privacy Exist? Should we be worried, Paul, that the heads of Google and Facebook are butting up to the bar, elbowing with the oil company executives, and, well, not the sheiks, because the sheiks aren't part of the white establishment.
Yeah.
But should it bother us that they're having a debate entitled Should Privacy Exist?
No, it should not. It should not bother us.
What's that?
Well, you as an advocate of StartPage, that is in fact the answer. No one forces the sheeple to use the Internet, to use Google, to use any of these resources in which their Facebook, that in which their privacy could be compromised. No one forces them to.
But they think everything's private there. That's why this goes back to, like I said, Paul, the ones who so falsely think that they're free, they also think that they have privacy on Facebook. They think they have First Amendment rights on Facebook, Paul.
Okay, and you, Dale, during many episodes of your show, have talked about the government indoctrination camps.
Yeah.
Also known as public schools. And
right.
I think you've just illustrated the reason they are, in fact, government indoctrination camps and not places of learning. So.
Because that's the junk food media. I told Ed on the Springsteen show we should start calling them that. I don't like the stupid term drive-by media because I know that was big Rush Limbaugh's thing, and I hear all these people about, low information voters and all that bullshit. But we ought to be calling the media what they are, junk food media. They want us to eat junk food, and they're feeding us junk food in the media.
I kind of like that, Dale, junk food media. That conjures up I think that actually is a better description than a drive-by media.
Genetically modified foods of media, the mainstream, and we're trying to get people to eat healthy by coming over here to these networks, Paul. We appreciate you weighing in tonight. And again, the My View Matters Network, we're going to give you the alternative because we don't want to feed you junk food. This isn't you running up to the house on Halloween night dressed up in a costume and saying trick-or-treat. We're not trying to give you junk food that's going to rot your skulls and make you full of mush. We're trying to do what people like Ed Snowden tried to do. We're trying to do what people like Bradley Manning tried to do. We're trying to get information out there. We don't agree with Joe Biden, who just came out and made more references to the New World Order today. How many people know about Joe Biden? I know he's a gaffe a minute. How many people know that he told the graduating Air Force Academy cadets yesterday that they can help build a New World Order? Does this bother you? No, it doesn't bother you because people laugh it off and say, oh, that's Joe. Would it surprise you if Biden asked everyone to swear an oath to the New World Order while he was at this graduation? Would it surprise you if you saw how many Air Force Academy cadets would swear the oath? It should shock you. It should piss you off. It should frustrate you. It should enrage you. It should make you mad, but it shouldn't surprise you. You can call it communism. You can call it socialism. You can call it fascism like we in the show do. But your mainstream media lies to you. Your junk food media lies to you. You don't need soldiers graduating from an academy being told how they're going to help bring in a new world order. You need them back here in our own country. People do need to wake up. Like Paul said, you need more protests. You need more civil disobedience. You need more elected politicians listening to you. For years, we've been called every name under the sun, especially a tinfoil hat wearer, if we speak about the NWO. And then a few people start to see what's going on. And they say, maybe he's right. We were telling you about hemp several years ago. We're warning you about the Federal Reserve several years ago. Some people actually apologize now to me when they see the truth for what it is. But there are still many who won't see the truth. And there are still so many who can say or know any amount of facts you show them, and it will not sway them. Iceland got it right. They threw the bankers in jail. It's time to start looking at some punishment for banksters. It's time to start looking for some punishment for the guys and gals in the Black Moon Moon, some of the judges, and some of the corruption they put out there. You got a chance while you're walking this earth, folks, to stand up for truth, to stand up for the Republic. Stand up against the fake money system. Stand up against the fake Federal Reserve. Stand up against the government control. Don't allow them to destroy you, folks. Be persistent. Be patient. Take your country back. Tell them death to their new world order.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
Take the big bomb. quality.